broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
We've always found great new music on radio.
Republicans are not going to buy into a bill that costs $2.5 trillion.
And I'm hearing what you say, but I just can't make
sense. I guess when you have the economy and health care reform and the deficits under control, then you can spend your time worrying about the next election.
Captain Cajones.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And every night we sort of twist the news a little bit. We make something of the news. We don't just read it and comment on it. We turn it into something, you know. We turn in after we get done with the show. But we turn the news. What am I trying to say?
We turn the news into something that it can't be ever be.
Yeah. We turn the news into something that it can't ever be. We turn the news into... We make something out of it, man, you know? Simon Cowell hates Ellen DeGeneres. Is that news? Actually, that is... He hates Ellen DeGeneres. We're going to tell you about that this hour. A jailed man brings up what's being called the Toyota defense, and the House extends the Patriot Act. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and you can watch the show. And if you've ever seen us perform our radio show, you realize it's worth it. I mean, because it's an actual physical endeavor. And in order to watch this show, there's only one way to do that, and that's to get our backstage pass. You do it by going to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get the backstage pass and take a look at how we do the show. You can also listen to our online live streaming audio, and all of that is available for download, by the way, the audio. The video goes into a five-day archive, so you can watch 5 days' worth of our video cast. We have lots and lots and lots of archive material going back many, many years, different generations of the Phil Hendry Show. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. We certainly hope that you pay a visit there. A couple of things in the news here tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. One of them that I wanted to tell you about has to do with the National Association of Broadcasters, and it's kind of an inside thing, but you should be aware of this. The National Association of Broadcasters, which is probably the biggest of all the broadcast, the radio broadcast and television broadcast associations that there are, they have been battling the recording industry for many years over a so-called performance tax, which requires radio stations to pay royalties to artists whose music they play on the air. Now, that sounds like it makes sense to you, doesn't it? It makes sense to me. But there was a long, long, long period of time where that didn't take place. Why? Because the artists didn't feel that they needed to demand this performance fee, given the fact that the radio playing their songs was giving them adequate publicity, exposure, and making the audience aware of them and aware of their music, and more importantly, aware of the fact that that music was available to buy. So people would go down to the store, as I did, as you did, as we all did when we were into our music buying. And today, of course, people download, which is what I do. I mean, I'm buying my stuff online because I just can't bring myself to steal it. Although some days, you know.
The other night, you were...
Will you shut up and don't tell people what I was doing the other... the other night, I was... It was fine. So I do the really... I'm right down the middle, man. I'm straight. I'm so straight, man. I go to iTunes, and that's it. That lousy, rotten selection they have there, and I pay their $1.29. I'm squeaky clean, baby. So, we live in a different era now. We live in the era of the following. People are not paying the large amounts of money for music that they used to. People are not going down to the store and buying the big CDs. People are going online and downloading, in some instances, file sharing. And in some instances, yada, 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 and you know, they're just not making the bread they used to make, artists, on the actual sale of the music. They are making their money instead by way of royalty, publishing royalties, songwriting, performance royalty, and they're making their money by touring, concerts. They're making their money by way of these one-time events, these pay-per-listen events, these listening parties, these internet events, and so forth. And so the actual sale of their music to the consumer is not what's driving the bus, so to speak. We've heard Beatle music featured on car commercials overseas and here in the United States. They've been on commercials for Love's Diapers and the video game Rock Band. Target uses a Beatles song. It's not performed by the Beatles, but it's one of their songs. So even the Beatles or whoever owns the rights to their music, and I can't even tell you anymore, sees the lucrative nature of this business. And they're not going to make any money on record sales. So what do? They turn around, they look at radio, and they say, you know, the good old days were the good old days. It just ain't happening anymore for me, man. You guys are going to have to do what radio stations all around the world have been doing for years, and that is pay a performance tax. In other words, we are entitled to a royalty when you perform our music. This is not an unusual thing in the world of performance and entertainment. If you are in a TV or radio commercial, if you're in a television or in a film, a feature film, if you are you know, an actor whose performance is repeated, or it's shown in a foreign country, or it's shown over and over and over again, you get a royalty check for that because your performance is being shown yet again, and so you are entitled to that. And that's not unusual. So in music, they want the same thing, and they've been getting it in other countries. They just didn't have it here in the United States. Congress is considering a bill that is now going to impose this performance right fee on radio. Now, here's the thing that always just drives me around a bend. In America, whether we want to believe it or not, we don't think about things beyond the following. Am I a Republican or a Democrat? You're a Republican. Okay, now I know what I'm supposed to think about this. That's exactly what we do. Don't tell me that we don't. Don't tell me we don't. I mean, we may be able to talk somebody into the fact that we're just so broad-minded over here, and we look at every issue as if it's a brand new thing. We may be able to convince some cat that just fell off the boat from China or wherever, but please don't, as they say, don't try selling that here because nobody's buying. I understand, you understand, that here in America, when we are presented with an issue, this is what we say. Let's see, I'm a liberal. Oh, okay, I know what I think. Here's what I think. We don't think about the issue. But if we did, here's what we'd think. Okay. Big radio stations, big National Association of Broadcasters, they don't want to have to pay this performance tax. I understand why they don't want to have to pay the performance tax. Why is that? Because they don't want to increase their overhead. Right now, they're keeping their overhead where they want it. They're making money, or at least they're trying to get back on their feet making money in a certain way. And by doing this, it's just going to kill them. Well, what's it going to kill? It's going to kill their ability to present music. It may kill their ability to present music, or it may force them into a new business model, or here is a third option. Maybe music radio no longer is a viable option. Maybe it is no longer a reality because of dun, 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 the iPod. Maybe these jackasses are trying to keep a model or a format alive that is dead as the walking dead, man. Should have been buried years ago. Maybe that's what's going on. Well, then why would they want to keep it alive, Phil, if it's dead? Because it's cheap. If all you got to do is pay some kid $20 an hour to spin records and you ain't paying for the music, you're stealing money. It's a license to print money back in the day. Nowadays, you have to be a little creative with the way you program music. Why is that? Because everybody's programming their own private radio station. It's called an iPod. They can put any kind of music they want in their iPod. They can have Frank Sinatra followed by the B-52s, followed by Nine Inch Nails, then go into some Leonard Bernstein. They go back to who knows what, NWA. I mean, people can do anything they want, and that's what people are doing. And so radio is now in the unenviable role of playing catch-up, and they're never going to catch up. They're not selling anybody's music. They're not even selling any real, they're not even selling any of its products, man. If you take a look at the advertising money that's being pulled in by radio these days, the overwhelming majority of it is going to talk radio. Why? Because it's a foreground format. People listen very carefully to talk radio as you're listening to me right now. And when I finally say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, I'll be with you and just listen to these commercials. Bang, here comes the commercial and your ears are already there at the radio. In music, it's background. So when the commercial finally does come on, you're going, what the hell is that noise? And you turn it to some other channel. Now, if the music was really good, you'd stay on that station. But the music sucks because radio programmers are gutless when it comes to, you know, programming music. We know that. And now their gutlessness has cost them essentially the entire industry because the iPod users of the world have decided, I can't take it any longer. I have to listen to some good music. I'll just go ahead and put it on my iPod. So NAB is fighting a battle that will never be won. What they are trying to do is stave off the inevitable. That is, keep music stations alive. Keep them alive long enough that the owners of those stations can recoup some kind of money when they eventually sell them at fire sale prices, of course, to somebody else who's eventually going to have to do something else with them, like go to a spoken word format or something really inventive in terms of music radio, like bringing back the disc jockey, the personality radio of yesteryear, or something like that. Here is the commercial, however. NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, has this commercial. And they're calling them public service announcements, by the way, allowing their member stations to air them free of charge and without disclosure as commercial announcements. This is another thing that's got some people very weirded out. The spots began airing on President's Day. They've reportedly been aired more than 40,000 times, the sort of airtime that would normally cost big dollars, as much as $70 million, according to one expert. But the NAB isn't planning to file any disclosures on the lobbying efforts because they aren't paying for the airtime. It's free. So that's a whole other smelly pile. So the National Association of Broadcasters has made a series of 30-second commercials available to its member stations that encourage listeners to call their congressman and speak out against the performance tax. And they're getting the airtime for free, and here's the commercial.
We've always found great new music on radio. But big record companies want a new tax on music that's played on local radio. A performance tax. The station you listen to could go out of business. That means lost jobs, no new music on the radio, and millions to record companies owned by foreign corporations. Tell Congress, stand up for free radio. Stop the radio tax.
Well, I can tell you there are 100 million different ways to rip that thing to shreds. I mean, that was embarrassingly bad. Nonetheless, because I'm going to be keynoting the NAB in Las Vegas, I believe... in April, I better shut up, you know?
Yeah, they're going to uninvite you, not even be there or anything.
Yeah. Look, and I got to say what I got to say, okay? By the time I get there, they'll forgotten I've even said anything. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And don't forget, I'll be keynoting the NAB. It's only a matter of time before women live-tweeted their abortions. So guess what? It's happening. Angie Jackson is doing that. We'll get into it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're going to be in trouble and everything.
Oh, shut up.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. You know, I only want to say one thing, and if I'm wrong, you go ahead, you tell me how I'm wrong. Number one, today I'm looking at Obama, and I'm looking at all these guys. They're liberals, and they're conservatives, they're Republicans, and they're Democrats. And Obama's there, and his opponents in the Republican Party are there. And he says at one point to John Boehner, your math sucks. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. It ain't five. You know, you say it's $150 billion a year. No, it isn't. It's $5 million tops. Tort reform would mean $5 billion a year tops. That's real money. I mean, I'm interested in making sure that that doesn't happen. But that is not even going to put a dent in what we're talking about. This tort reform baloney. You guys don't have the numbers. He said the same thing to one of Boehner's colleagues. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for the second time, Republicans have been nose-to-nose with Obama. They've had an opportunity to rip him an ass and to say to him, no, you, Mr. President, you're wrong. Here's where our numbers are right. Obama looked them both in the eye and he said, in one case, he said to the guy, your math is off, and I think even you know your math is off. Obama says this to this Republican. And you want to know something? And Boehner is supposed to be Mr. Hardass, right? Neither one of these guys opened their mouths. Neither one of these guys came to their own defense to say, now, Mr. President, you got it wrong. Here are the numbers. This is where it's at. This thing went on for 7 hours, man. Now, that means something to me. I don't know about anybody else. That means something, because I've been listening to this debate real careful. I've been listening to this tort reform thing. I looked into the tort reform thing. I looked into the numbers. I saw the $150 billion. I saw the $100 billion. I hear this $5 billion. But I can tell you this much. I've looked into it enough to know that it isn't a very big number. Reforming that aspect of health care ain't a big number, okay? And now I get almost the proof that I'm looking for when I see these two guys wilt like a couple of flowers in the noonday heat, this Boehner and this other guy. They can't even answer Obama when he says to them, you guys are full of crap. That's essentially what he said. Both of you guys are full of crap. You don't have the numbers. You know you don't have the numbers. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. We have Sean. Sean, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Long time listener,
good.
First time caller.
Thank
and
you.
I wanted to talk to you about the royalty that they're putting on radio, or they're trying to put on radio, and that is going for the sound recording. The label owns the sound recording, and the artist owns the song. So whenever you play something, the artist gets a cut, and that's how it's always been. What they're wanting to do now is put it on the sound recording so the label will actually start getting some of the performance money.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're doing for radio, or I mean, that's what they're doing for internet, and they want to do it for radio as well.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, that should be both ways. If you're going to do it on one, you should do it on both.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't have any problem with it. I'm in the radio business. I know why they're fighting this music tax, because they want to keep their overhead down, because they want the music stations want to survive. Well, they're not surviving for a couple of reasons. People are accessing their music in other ways. They're using the iPod. They're going directly to the artist for it. But they're not going to radio anymore for it. And the artists know that because they're not making any money by way of record sales or CD sales or song sales because of promotion on. Radio is not getting the job done for artists anymore. And so that's why they want their music essentially, you know, they want to be covered for their performance. Thanks for your call. Was he agreeing with me, or?
I don't know.
Here's Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Long-time listener, first-time caller. That's two in a row. 2 points about the NAB. Number one, they're calling it a tax. That's baloney. It's not a tax. It's a fee. They like to use the word tax because that scares Americans. But let's face it, taxes have to be passed by Congress for them to be taxes. And this ain't one. This is just a scare tactic by the NAB to try to get.
Well, it is a tax. It's being passed by Congress, nonetheless.
Well, as far as I know, it's a fee and it's not yet a tax. So, and the second point, maybe if they do pass it, it'll give the small guy in the garage and the bands, unknown bands, a shot at getting on the radio, because that would be a cheap way for radios to put bands and new music on. And not have to pay this fee or tax or whatever it really is.
I agree. I don't know that it's going to be a surefire way of an unknown band getting the exposure that they ordinarily wouldn't have. Because if you think about it, bands can get exposure on the World Wide Web, which is frankly the future.
But you know that radio is still the most listened to medium out there right now, as far as sound goes.
Yeah, radio is the most listened to medium, but not every radio station is the most listened to. And people still like listening to the hits. If you do if you have a station, a format where it's all unknown artists, I'm sure the unknown artists and their friends will listen. I don't know if you're going to make any real money unless you broker it, unless you say to the artists, I'll play your music if you pay me. And there have been guys, I heard a guy not too long ago say, I'm going to start a radio station, I'm going to broker the time to the record companies. I said, what do you mean? He says, I'll just sell blocks of airtime to the record companies, and they can play anything they want, man. Well, you could do the same thing with the artists. Sell blocks of time to the artists. The station makes money. The artist gets the exposure that he wants. I don't know who's listening to it, and I don't really know who's going to buy it, but hey, that might be a way of going. Anyway,
I've had a couple of
I got to get going, man. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've had a couple of friends tell me about internet stations that just play new music, and they play random new music, and maybe for five or six of my friends have told me that's all they listen to all day. It's great. So,
well, it's cool. I don't know how they make money doing that. Anyway, it's a new world, baby. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, we're going to L.A. Canyon, and this is Justin. How you doing, Justin? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Renee, I wanted to talk with you about the TV show Jersey Shore. We've been talking about it at our school. And
you want to talk about Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, we wanted to basically say that we're in agreement with MTV and the producer over there, Mr. Toffler, who said that, you know, Jersey Shore is really a show that is for, it's probably more a show for younger people than so-called Gen X people, you know, and we're, you know, in support of that, of that show, and we don't think it should be taken off the air, and we think that a lot of the controversy about it has more to do with the, the older, you know, generation.
Well, they call them older demographics.
Yeah, older demographics.
And much of the criticism of that show has been coming from older people, but from Italian Americans too.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, because we, you know, our generation has been exposed to kind of a sanitized version of television, and we know that, like, your generation was able to see probably shows that were more, I guess, not as politically correct, you know?
Okay.
And I don't know if you know, like, Amos and Andy or something.
Yeah, Amos and Andy. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that as a rerun. I never saw it. I don't know if, I think it was a syndicated show. There was Amos and Andy. There was, I don't know of any other shows. I suppose that there were sort of typical shows that were stereotypical to some degree.
Yeah, well, so Jersey Shore is an opportunity for a lot of my generation to see that kind of television. And
well, you know, the criticism of Amos and Andy was that it was a negative stereotype, that it was sort of a... some people saw the characters in that show as buffoonish, clownish, and so they didn't like the show, you know.
But at least, you know, they got to make up their mind, and I mean, the point that we're making is that we want to be able to see Jersey Shore and make up our mind, and if it's a show that, I mean, if you could say there's people that like to see Amos and Andy because it made them laugh, you know.
Well, do you like to watch Jersey Shore because it makes you laugh?
Well, yeah. I mean it's really funny, and we like to follow the characters, and, I mean, it's a show that I want to look at, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. When you watch Jersey Shore, do you say, hey, look at the funny-looking Italians?
Well, I mean,
I never consciously said to myself as a kid watching Amos and Andy, hey, look at these funny black people, but they were black, and they were funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the... Jersey Shore is, you know, they're Italians, and they're just, they have a certain way, you know, of doing, of how they talk and the way they look at everything, okay? And
So you like to watch Jersey Shore from the standpoint of it's a funny bunch of Italians to look at.
Yeah, and I really don't see what's wrong with that, you know?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't either. I mean, I think we've lost. There was at one time in this country, and maybe it was informed by a little bit of hatred, and maybe that's what made it go away. But we did have the ability at one time to sort of look across the garden wall at each other and laugh at our customs and laugh at the different modes of dress or the different ways of speaking. And we're very sensitive to that now. But you feel, do you feel that Jersey Shore, that the attempts to keep this show off the air smack a little bit of that?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, do you think the attempts of keeping Jersey Shore off the air have to do with that political correctness?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, they don't, there's people saying, oh, you know, you can't laugh at a greaseball, or, I mean, they don't want you to call them a greaseball or anything, you know.
Well, no, you don't want to, using those kind of pejoratives maybe might be over the line a little bit, but they don't want you to laugh at their big noses or something?
Yeah, you're not allowed to laugh at how big their nose is, and you can't look, you know, at the grease in their hair and their like those Chico Jr. boots they wear. And
what is a Chico Jr. boot?
Well, they wear those pointed shoes. I call them Chico Juniors. I don't know, but and the wife beaters and everything. And you're not allowed to laugh at that, but it is funny, and it's made to be that way, you know. And
well, you know, when you talk about Amos and Andy. Watching that show, I used to laugh at the slow way that they talked, and I used to laugh at...
Did you ever laugh at their thick lips?
No, man, I didn't laugh at their thick... I mean, I don't want to get into that, okay? Because there's kind of a different... It was a different era, and it was an uglier era when I was growing up, and the racially charged image back then really hurt, and hurt in a very profound way.
I mean, you're saying that it's okay, because I just want to get your take on it. Is it all right to... Do you feel it's better to laugh at, if I said, like, I'm laughing at some guineas, I want to go home and laugh at a guinea tonight.
I would say to you, if you're going to say that, you might just say it to me. Don't say it in a crowded room. Don't holler it across the room, you know?
Yeah, well, because it's really funny that all the wops all have hairy backs, especially the chickens.
All right, see, that's what I mean. You don't want to, you're getting a little heavy into it now, you know what I mean?
Well,
in other words, you're saying it's funny that the, quote, wops all have hairy backs, especially the chicks, end quote. That's the kind of talk that begins to sound a little hateful.
No, sir, I don't hate them.
All right, but I mean, if you're amused by that...
Well, you said that you thought their big noses were funny.
No, I just asked you. What do you think is funny about them?
About
the Italians, you know, you're using these words that may be very offensive to some people, about Italian-Americans.
Yeah, I mean, they're big noses, and like the Chico Juniors, and the women all have hair on their lip.
You know, I got to see this show, man, because if it looks the way you're describing it, I'll probably watch one episode, man, and lose my lunch, you know?
Yeah, well, it is funny, though, Mr. Henry, that these Guidos aren't like normal people, because...
You know, again, you've said Guinea, Guido, and WAP, and now Guido. You see what I'm saying?
All right. What I'm saying is the people on the show, the Italian Americans on the show, are of lesser intelligence. And so it's fun to watch them, like, do something stupid, and their lives are, you know, ruined, you know?
Well, I don't know. I got to tell you something, Justin. You know, it's one thing to laugh at people because their customs are different. It's another thing to laugh at their misfortune or to say because they're of lesser intelligence, you know, their lives are ruined. And especially when we get into the whole thing about how the chicks have hairy upper lips and calling them the W word, you know, WAP and all that stuff. That's the stuff that caused people not to want to watch Amos and Andy. That's the stuff that got Amos and Andy booted off the air because people were reacting to it that way. It wasn't just a funny show showing these funny people. There were people who were saying, hey, look at those N-words, and aren't they clowns, you know?
Well, but, I mean, how else can you look at it?
Well, I can tell you, when I was a kid and I'm watching Amos and Andy, I saw these two funny guys who were, as we said in those days, colored guys, and they had these funny colored friends, and they did this funny stuff, you know? I never thought in any hateful way about them. I didn't consider them N-words. I didn't think that... I thought that that's... You know, this was a world I didn't see, man. You know?
Yeah, I know, because they were colored.
Yeah, because they were black, right. I didn't see black folks interacting that way anywhere. I lived in a lily-white suburb of Los Angeles.
Well, I just, you know... I feel it's good to be able to say, hey, let's go home tonight and... You know, check a Guido out, or not? You know, just go home and look at these guineas, because
See, there you go with this. Let's go home tonight and look at the guineas. I don't know, man. I don't know whether you're watching this show just to be amused by the different personalities and characters, or if you don't like Italians.
I I don't have a problem with Italians at all.
Well, then okay. So why do you say Guido and Guinea?
Well, I mean, because that's what everybody calls them.
Well, not everybody calls them that. And they don't like to be called that, you know? I mean, I can dig it when you say they got, you know, funny-looking hair and big noses and all that stuff, man. You start getting into those words, though, you know? That's where people start to get pissed off.
Well, I can tell you, Jersey Shore, as a show, taught me a little bit about the Italians, because originally I thought all of them were... I honestly thought all of them were sort of stupid and fat because of the pasta that turns... goes into their brain, but it turns out they're skinny, too. But, I mean, they're also stupid, too, you know? So,
no, it sounds to me like you got a problem with Italians, kid.
No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Everything you're saying here is it sounds like that they're stupid and fat from the pasta that goes into their brains. You know anybody that's Italian?
My girlfriend's Italian.
Is she fat?
No. I mean, I can't deal with that.
You can't deal with that. All right, man. Well, good luck, and I'm glad that you enjoyed Jersey Shore. And I do agree with you on the one level that it's good and it's fun to look at people of different culture, different characteristic, different ethnic background. I don't see anything wrong with making fun, laughing, and having a good time. I think the name-calling gets a little weird, you know, and...
Okay, well, do you think Guido is okay, or Guinea, or Greaser?
I don't think any one of them. Walk up to an Italian guy, call him a Guido, see what he does.
Right, you think they're going to put out a contract to have me, you know, whacked it.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Whew. God, that guy's the stupidest guy I ever heard in my life.
That's right, man. Walk up to an Italian guy, call him a Guido, and he'll put out a contract to have you whacked it.
Boy.
Tomorrow night, Dr. Mike Stone for Crime Night. Plus, next week, we'll be joined by CNN's Rick Sanchez. Up next, the stories we couldn't get to. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Somebody's going to whack him.
Phil Hendry.
Phil. Now, I wanted to tell you, before we get to the stories that we couldn't get to, the stories we couldn't get to, we got one more American Idol review to do, because as you know, they're cutting them down, man. But there's some baloney story in here about how Ellen DeGeneres and Simon Cowell ain't getting along like it matters. Cowell's leaving, and I think it's a sad thing. I think he was... you know, the more I watch that show and the more I listen to that guy, he was the single most sensible guy on that whole show. He's the most, you know, this guy, Kyle, say what you want about him. He was the guy that made sense. There wasn't a phony thing about it. He didn't try to kiss anybody's ass. He didn't try to give anybody any false hope. He didn't try to, you really did a good job. No, he would tell him, you suck. My God, do you suck. And you cannot do this for a living and get out of here. And, you know, I'm going to miss that guy, man. Now, Ellen's funny. She's good. If they're thinking of putting Howard in there, Howard's funny, but you need somebody who knows something about entertainment. You need someone who knows what they're looking at and can say to these kids, all right, here's what you need to make it in the world of entertainment and show business. I mean, that's the part that he filled. If you put a clown in there, as good as Howard is, you're going to... Who are they going to use as the legitimate critic? Randy Jackson? I don't think so. He's that guy, he's too much of a kiss-ass. He's the guy who says, well, you know, it was really a tough year, and baloney. All right, let's listen, because I think the last one here is Randy Jackson, and I think the first judge you'll hear is Simon Cowell. Here are a couple of contestants. It was the men the last couple of days, and here they are.
Since you've been gone, and all you ever hear me say is how I picture me with you.
Tondrid, I think you came over as a dancer trying to sing rather than a singer who can also dance.
Yeah.
I thought it was a crazy arrangement of the song. I'm all for, like as Cara said, taking risks, providing you can improve it. What you did was completely murder the original song. Turn it into something. You can boo all you want. Nobody would buy it. So therefore, I think it was verging on stupid what you just did.
All right, this one is Tim Urban singing One Republic's Apologize.
I'm hearing what you say, but I just can't make a sound. Yeah. You tell me that you need me. You cut me down. But when you tell me that you're sorry, didn't think it turned around. You say that it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Now, this kid, Tim Urban, he didn't make the original cut, but one of the finalists was disqualified, so they called up Tim to be his replacement, and here's what he gets for coming back.
Tim, well, look, congratulations for coming back.
However,
having said that, we absolutely made the right decision the first time round by not putting you through, based on that performance.
Whoa.
No, I'm being serious, because there was just nothing to take from that. The vocals were weak. The version was weak. You didn't come over as a natural performer. And the truth is, I just don't think your voice is good enough. I don't. So, look, you may make it through just based on the fact that people are going to feel sorry for you and you look
good.
Oh,
man.
And if you do, you've really seriously got to get this together because that wasn't good enough.
I just love the guy, man. That's Simon Cowell. And you know what? If you are honest with somebody like that and you say you stink and the kid cries and he goes home and he thinks he's the most worthless crap can artist in the world, but if he really believes in himself, the next time out he's that much tougher and he's that much more confident, and if you don't go back and if you are completely demoralized by that, then you never belong to the business in the first place. You know, I used to be a singer.
Really?
Yeah, and then I went on American Idol and... Anyway, in the stories we didn't get to tonight, we have the head of Germany's 25 million Protestants resigning on Wednesday after police stopped her for driving while under the influence of alcohol, just 4 months after becoming the third woman to head a major Christian church. Known as the Pop Bishop, 51-year-old Margot Kasemann is a regular on television talk shows and had been a controversial choice as head of Germany's EKD, the main association of Protestant churches, because she is a divorced mother of four. Betraying no emotion, Kasemann told reporters she had made a grave mistake, which she deeply regretted, but I cannot ignore the fact that my office and my authority have been damaged. I'm a lousy, stinking drunk, she said. And then she didn't say that, but she was very, very gracious in admitting she was driving drunk, so. But even Jesus, well, no, Jesus wouldn't do that. There are some embarrassed faces at Bulgaria's tax office. Of course there are. No, there are some embarrassed faces at Bulgaria's tax office on Thursday after an investigation found more than 400 tax inspectors had failed to pay their traffic fines. The Balkan nation has launched a crackdown on civil servants who don't pay what they owe as part of plans to stamp out rampant fraud and raise revenues during the recession, according to the National Revenue Agency. Now, the tax officials caught will have money deducted from their February salaries to pay the fines. More than 50,000 civil servants also face being checked for unpaid taxes and fines in March. A sign of the pressure Sofia, which is the capital of Bulgaria, is under at home and abroad to demonstrate results in its fight against graft and crime. Women-only airline to have female toilets. Dateline Tokyo, women flying Japan's All Nippon Airways will have a toilet all to themselves from next month, with the airline designating one restroom on most international routes as female-friendly. The airline said in a statement it was responding to numerous requests for this service, adding that the toilet would be located in the rear of the plane, ha ha ha, and be available to women passengers from all classes. An airline official told Kyoto News Agency that ANA, I guess that's the airline, All Nippon, right?
Let me check. I'll double-check and get back to you.
Yeah, you do that, man. ANA decided to designate... Is he kidding?
You don't have to check anything.
ANA decided to designate women-only lavatories based on a 2007 online survey in which 90% of the women polled said they found the idea...
Well, I think it's rather attractive. Now that you mention it.
Bikini barista charged with public exposure. Pierce County prosecutors in Washington have filed a charge of unlawful public exposure against a 19-year-old barista accused of wearing only a thong bottom and X-shaped pasties on her nipples at a coffee bar. Prosecutors filed the misdemeanor charge on Tuesday against the woman who worked at the Bikini Bottoms espresso stand in Pull It Up?
Yeah, pull it.
Pull It? Are you trying to tell me they got a coffee bar in Washington with chicks and pasties and the name of the town is Pull It?
Yeah, that's my understanding, too.
P-U-Y-A-L-L-Up.
Yeah, Pull It Up. Yeah, you got to Pull It Up.
And Pull It Up, Wash... Get out of here with that. Well, you may swear to God, but I ain't buying it. All right, anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, of course, is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez, and we hope you join us. If you can't on the air, join us on our website, philhenryshow.com. We've got downloadable audio of each and every show. We also have our five-day video archive, so if you missed the video cast of tonight's show, you can see it on our archive. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.